Went to Aces because they, when you checked, are you staying here?
Or? Yeah, I'm here all weekend.
So when you checked in, did they give you that voucher that was like, take $3 off the breakfast buffet at Aces?
No, I didn't know there was a breakfast buffet.
Neither did Aces know that there were vouchers for $3 off. So you basically saw everybody going, hey, so here, and they're like, what the fuck is this?
Meanwhile, they didn't know what it was?
They like, apparently Aces did not know there was this $3
well,
off.
Well, when we checked
fucking
in,
swindlers.
When we checked in, though, the guy, the front desk said it's not owned by the hotel.
Right.
So he was kind of putting like a disclaimer
like,
out there.
It might not work, but we're giving you this.
Well, what
anyway.
He told us was yeah, like, no, he not? Said, I don't know if it's $3 per person or $3 per
the total,
table.
Yeah. And that's why everyone I saw was doing separate checks.
Because it's probably $3 per person.
And on top of that, like the place was just overwhelmed by the fact that people were showing up at 8 a.m.
Right.
when the thing blatantly says on it, breakfast is served from 8 to 11:30. I'm like, look, 11:30 gets here a lot quicker than you might think at con weekend. And if you want breakfast because you're going to be walking around all day or partying at the Hollow Nine booth at table 24 in New Jersey HorrorCon 2018 September in the Showboat in Atlantic City,
yeah.
You got to make sure you get your calories in the morning because we're going to be doing a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
And sitting with us here is Phil. I don't know if you want to give us your real last name or a screen name. What
Phil Manzon.
There you go. And
so
Phil,
are you just like a horror fan in general? Or
I
do
am.
You, or have you like done in any cosplay contest? Are you?
No, I've done nothing professional. I was just in the cosplay contest just a few minutes ago and I lost, but rightfully so because there were some really choice costumes. Like the Pennywise one was on the money.
Oh, the balloons, the tall woman she won?
Oh, that's a woman?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I made the mistake of saying thanks, guys, when she was standing next to her KISS companion.
Wow,
and
she's
like, who are you calling guy? And I'm like, the evil demon from the sewers of the movie It.
That's funny. So I've done nothing professional, but I always love coming to these things. I've been a horror fan pretty much all my life. I remember when I was like 4 or 5 years old, my aunt showed me Freddy Krueger and Tales from the Crypt, and
wow.
I fell in love, and I've been a fan ever since.
So
yeah.
Instead of being horrified out of your mind and traumatized and needing therapy, you're like, this is cool. I am down.
For the most part, the one part of Tales from the Crypt that I actually had to leave the room, I don't recall this. This is just what my aunt told me. My aunt told me I could sit through the show. It's just the part where he pops out of the coffin and laughs. That's where I, pissed my pants and, ran off.
The best part. part where the Crypt Keeper finally says hi and laughs, and then we get the green slime, and it says
Tales from the Crypt.
Wow, dude, you even do the voice.
Oh, yeah, man, I'm an aspiring voice actor. Do you like my shtick?
It's ironic that you've come to the Hollow Nine table, then, because we've just launched an audio drama this year, and we're always looking for new voices.
I do, absolutely. I'd be totally down to...
This is not staged, by the way. Folks at home, this is all complete like organic discovery going on here. Literally, Phil and I have chatted twice today and mm-hmm. not once has voices or audio drama come
no,
up
not once.
Until right now.
If my word means anything, I can vouch for him.
I mean, really, we wanted to ask Phil what the con's been like, and now this is obviously not your first New Jersey Horror Con.
No, this is my second, and it's just... I'd say I'm having an even better time than last year just because, I'm more prepared for this one. Like,
gotcha.
The first one kind of, I wasn't really too sure what to expect, and now that I know what I'm in for, and, I'm being a little more outgoing, I'm doing more, like, cosplay contests, and, I'm not so nervous to talk to people at their booths.
Right.
The first time I went to a convention, I was stuttering like a motherfucker. I'm like, hey, it's so... Good to meet you. I really love your movies. Now I'm a little more composed,
right.
And I can present myself in a much less cringy fashion, yeah.
Which, to be honest, for everybody out there, whether you're trying to meet celebrities just as a fan at a convention or you're trying to, score an interview maybe, just being cool about the fact that you're just talking to another person is
yeah.
like a huge, huge plus. So if there's a skill you need to prep for events like this, I would suggest that. But just get it in your mind. You're just talking to another person. It's the
same as
when someone who doesn't work where you work comes in and says, "So, man, how are you doing with that new software?" And you're just like, "Eh." You know, like, if you know that they're a software engineer, you'll probably tell them what you do or don't like about it.
I think the biggest thing that fans need to remember when they're at these events is when you see the celebrities and the guests having dinner.
Never.
Do not go up and interrupt them. It's fucking rude.
Just think about if you would that. You know,
if you
want
to take a step back, you know, that's their breather. They've been dealing with people all day, and the last thing they want to do is take a break from their meal that they're fucking starving from because they've been doing this shit all day, and then let them enjoy it. You know, if they're at the bar having a drink, that's one thing. But when they're sitting at a table having dinner,
especially
don't
like
fuck with them.
If they have friends and family with them too, that's
exactly.
even more. Like, their friends and family didn't get to see them all day because they've been doing appearances, Q&As,
signings, all that,
showing films, whatever, you know.
It's like, because, you know, I work at a store, and it's like, you know, when you get out from the counter to go on your break, and then as soon as you're about to get to the break room, a customer asks you, "Hey, can you go see if there's any milk in the back?" And you're like, "Ah."
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually on break, you know. Then they also, like, suddenly, like, that's a faux pas, you know. As a working professional, you're not really supposed to, "Hold up, I'm on my break, let me go get somebody."
I know, but you don't, so that's why you got to be nice about it. And I feel like that's what the celebrities do, too. They're just trying to be nice, but I'm pretty sure if they could, they'd probably tell you, "Hey, listen, maybe, you know, not right now."
You know what's funny? Like, do you watch shows like Black Mirror, or do you, like, you know, what TV are you into?
What kind of TVs I'm into? Well, I haven't really watched too much primetime TV. There's a lot of shows on my list I'm trying to get down. You're probably going to look at me like I have five heads here. I've never watched Game of Thrones.
My uncle.
I don't do Game of Thrones either.
Jesus,
so
literally.
I mean, I know that we do a podcast for Game of Thrones, but I can't get into it. It's not my gig.
Right.
So I figure I'll give that a shot, too. The most shows I watch now, I mostly watch Adult Swim shows like Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Nice.
American Dad. But live action shows, even though it has dropped in quality, I still watch Walking Dead.
Oh, wow.
I've spent way too much time invested in that just to drop it now. I have to see how it ends.
I mean, you know, Seth Gilliam is here. I obviously
He's
would
super
love
nice.
I would love
super,
to
super
chat
nice.
With him about it, but I mean,
Michael Rooker's pretty nice too.
I met him
at Walker Stockton.
Yeah, 2015.
I met Michael Rooker at Blood at the Beach, and
Blood at the Beach.
He gave me a free selfie for no reason other than the fact that I said I liked a role. I liked him in Black Ops 2, and he said, "No one has told me that all day." So you know what? Second selfie on me.
Nice, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's really cool.
But the Scream, the TV show, I watched too. That's actually not bad.
Really? See, I was a huge fan of the movies, and I've been leery of starting it, mostly because it's an MTV show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like, now it's all on Netflix, so I guess I could watch it all.
Like, honestly, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, I remember when they said it was a show and it was on MTV, I was just like, "This is going to be the worst thing ever. I want nothing to do with this. This doesn't exist." And then I was working at Party City one Halloween, and I open up a fridge. I'm like, "Oh my God, we have masks from the show." And I'm like, "Oh, I guess this caught on in popularity after all." And then, you know, I didn't think much of it. And then I'm just skimming through Netflix, and the entire first season's on there. And I'm all like, "I literally have nothing to do. Let's give it a shot." And you know what? I was satisfied. It's nothing groundbreaking. It's nothing perfect, but it's entertaining.
I mean, I love the movies. Like,
me
the
too.
Movies, like, made a whole era for me at the end of my high school career. And the funny thing about that, if you watch, the first movie is the first movie I ever watched with a commentary track. So you got Wes Craven on there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got Kevin Williamson talking about it. And that mask, they literally were scouting houses for the first movie. And one of the houses they were scouting, the kid had that mask on a shelf. And it was just a random Halloween mask. And they were like, "This is fucking awesome. We should use this for the killer." And that now is called the Scream Killer Mask.
I know, isn't that awesome?
It's like they've usurped something that already existed and made it theirs.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, this generic mask just became, like, their product. Now people think that it was made specifically for that film when that is indeed not the case. And one thing I remember on the commentary track is originally Ghostface was supposed to be in a white robe, not a black one. And I'm really glad they didn't go through with that, because that just would have looked silly.
Lame, yeah. And then there was also, in one draft, they didn't even describe what the killer looked like. And I think the writers said to Kevin Williamson, or like the directing team, the production team, when they were in pre-pro, were like, "Well, how are we going to disguise this guy? I mean, if they're just running around and they're not wearing a costume, people are going to, you know, recognize him." And Kevin Williams said, "Not my problem." And I'm like, wow, dude, I guess when you have your first break you know, and your script is going to be made into a movie by Wes Craven, you do a little pushback on things.
You think it would be like one of those like old-timely robber masks where it just covers the eyes,
right,
and somehow
right.
still nobody recognizes
them
at
Superman
the scene of the crime.
Superman conundrum. Like, how good a disguise is a pair of glasses, really?
That's the killer's disguise. He always wears glasses when he kills people, and he wears contacts when he doesn't.
There you go. So you cosplayed as, is this from Doctor Who? What is this?
Oh, this isn't... basically, it's like a purger mask. Like, if I was in the Purge,
this is
what I would wear. Yeah.
No shit. See, with the new series coming out, that's great. Like, USA is doing a 10-episode.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that. It looks pretty, it looks decently promising.
Yeah, like the prequel. Like, here's what the first Purge was like.
But there already was a first Purge, so is this like the pre-first Purge?
I guess, so the first Purge movie is supposed to be the actual first time they ever purge.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I've only seen the second movie.
The first Purge, actually, I guess correctly so, was the first Purge I ever watched. I remember my friend said she wanted to see it for 4th of July, and I'm all like, you know what? I'm not doing anything else. I'm not seeing fireworks, so why not? And honestly, I was pleasantly surprised. I enjoy the ever-loving hell out of that movie, and The Purge might be my new guiltiest pleasure.
Wow. Did you have any feelings about The Purge? Have you watched The Purge at all?
Yeah, I've seen up until the new one.
The one that's the fourth one that's
yes.
on its way out? I haven't
Prequel,
seen
yeah.
it.
I'm a fan. I mean, in reality, again, you know how I am. I don't give a fuck what I say, and I'll probably get crucified for this, but...
My God.
Mm-hmm.
I think
your nails ready.
In real life, we need a purge.
Yeah.
We need to thin the herd.
The herd needs to get thinned out, yeah.
I'm more of like a Thanos philosophy. How about just like, you know, equal opportunity?
Honestly, but a lot of my posts since Infinity War have ended with hashtag we can lose half, hashtag Thanos 2020. Because... I mean, even talking about The Purge, you know, before that even was a thing, it used to be kind of edgy and funny for people in a conversation to be like, you know, man, there's just too many people in the world. We got to thin this herd out. And it's like, I can get behind the idea. That makes sense.
I think for me, though, that it's the more that the world is changing, this is really, in fact, could be an actuality. It could happen 100%. So I will sit there and plan out. What am I going to do?
Are you going to go out and purge, or are you going
to
like...
No, I'm going to wait for the dumb fuckers to come to me.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to launch. Like, I sit... I'm not going out. Like, I sit here and plan, what am I going to do? What's going to be my defense? But I think that it should happen. And the way that the world has gotten so crazy with shootings and bombs and all this stuff, like, this could be...
It's more
an
even,
event.
I think, the sort of social attitudes toward it, too. I mean, and you almost wonder, all right, well, did the movie make people start thinking this way, or were people already thinking this way, and that's why the movie resonated, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if I may, I forget what country it is. It's either Peru, Guatemala, some South American country.
You're going to do this.
No. Hang on, wait. You'll get a kick out of this. In some South American country, they have this tradition where it's kind of purge light. Pretty much there's this get-together, and people settle their differences by just beating the shit out of each other.
Like a fight club.
Yeah. And then afterwards, you know, they shake hands and, you know, the hatchet is buried, so to speak.
Right, right.
So in a strange way, we sort of have a pre, you know, like, sort of like, almost like a pre-type purge right now in South America.
Like right up to the point where, like, you don't kill the person.
Yeah, you just beat the ever-loving hell out of them, and then you shake hands and grab a beer afterwards.
But you're supposed to leave the shit on the floor after that. Like, you should never argue about
no
this
grudges.
Again.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. Like, after that fight, your score is settled. So in a strange way, the purge almost kind of exists right now in reality.
Fucking nuts, man. That's the problem here. When you all right, so the things you learn at New Jersey Horror Con, I just had my mind blown. What have, like, compared to last year, what have you seen today? What's your day at the con been like? Are there any highlights that you're going to absolutely make sure to tell everybody about, or have they not happened yet?
I'd say one of the biggest highlights right now is that I'm on a podcast for the first... Oh, actually, this is technically my second podcast. I did a very brief interview with some guy dressed as Pogo the Clown last year.
Nice.
I think I actually saw him wandering around right here. I remember I told him that I high-fived a murderer once, and he's like, whoa, I got to get this on tape. So can you explain to me what you mean exactly? I'm like, oh, well, you know, I didn't know he was a murderer, and I high-fived him. I went to a WWE show, and a month before he killed his family, I high-fived Chris Benoit.
Oh,
Chris Benoit.
So now,
I love him.
We have a community that we're affiliated with called the Terra Firma Artists Union. Yes. And that group does a periodic State of the Union address live streams. And on one of those, we had one of our Canadian friends.
Hey.
And he mentioned, we were talking about wrestling stuff, and I'm not like a super into wrestling, you know.
See, I am too.
I know, I mean, everybody knows about Benoit, you know,
everybody
knows what happened.
Roid rage.
And at some point, our friend from Canada said something like, hey, was Noose there? And I was like, wait a minute, what did he just say? And I think as I said, what did you just say? He said Chris Benoit, but it got covered by me saying, what did you just say? So for like a good 5 minutes, I'm going, all right, did we just refer to Chris Benoit as Noose?
Yeah, you did, yes.
Oh my God, dude. I know there's a certain level where we can talk about anything, but that might have crossed an insensitivity line.
I would say so, you know, yeah, like, you know, I wasn't, like, you know, gleefully telling him, yeah, I was just telling him my story, and he thought, you know, for his podcast, that would be pretty intriguing, so I was very briefly interviewed for that. So the highlight for me for this con is I met Jason from part one.
Nice.
Ari.
What's his last
Ari
name?
Ari Lehman?
Ari, yeah, I keep wanting to say Ari Lesser, but that's an Israeli rapper.
Yeah.
Ari Lehman. He's great. He's so quirky. He's so friendly. And he's the only Jason from the original series up until now that I didn't meet. The guy from part three, I cannot meet unless, you know, until I get to the pearly gates up there, because he is sadly no longer with us. You know, bless your soul.
But Kane is still around, right?
Yes.
Kane will be at Monster Mania next weekend. Hodder is a very good friend of mine.
He's a very good person. I met him too.
Yeah, he's a very good friend of mine.
I'm hoping to meet Kane.
We will meet Kane. I will introduce you to Kane.
Sweet.
This at not NJ HorrorCon, but Monster
Monster Mania
is next weekend in Maryland.
This past March.
In Cherry Hill, which was the fucking
in Cherry Hill.
And it was the weekend after New Jersey HorrorCon last time too. It's always,
so,
you know.
That night, two things happened. I remember the line for him was out the door, and pretty much they let so many people in, it basically became a fire hazard.
Yeah, they shut the whole event down. Yeah.
I was there.
So
we were there.
The people waiting outside for hours on end, the guy comes out, and, you know, like, I can tell this guy is pretty nervous. I'm like, what is this guy about to say?
Yeah.
He's like, all right, guys, due to complaints from the fire marshal, I can't let you in, and everyone's looking at him like they're about to, you know, lynch the guy.
Like the purge was about to happen.
Well, they admittedly oversold tickets.
Absolutely.
And they also admittedly had like 8 front runners, which was insane.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the big thing was you had the Friday the 13th group picture.
I got that too.
And then you had the IT people. I mean, it was chaos. It was complete chaos.
It absolutely was. And I'll get to the IT kids in a second. And then because, like, the uproar was so loud, like, they're basically saying, like, we are going to throw rocks at these windows if you don't let us in. And
that's not good.
Yeah. Thankfully, that didn't happen. And then the guy was just like, all right, I tell you what, I'm going to walk inside and look the other way. And that's exactly what we did. We went inside. And then I remember, because there were so many, Kane was running late for the photo op. And I remember I pretty much almost got down on my knees and begged the agent, like, listen, please just let him sign us. I was the last one they took before he left that day. I was
nice.
Very happy about that.
Nice. Well, congratulations on that, man.
Uh-huh.
You were in a near riot.
Absolutely.
So, well, I mean, there were fights in the parking lot and stuff going on.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, when we left, it was fights going on in the parking lot.
Yeah, I don't need to be a part of that.
No, yeah. And I felt so bad for the IT kids, because, you know, these kids are only like 15 years old, and, you know, like, they're like, oh wow, look at all these people who want to meet us, and you have all these fans who are just being so unpleasant to them, like, how dare you charge this much for an autograph, or this. I'm like, listen, guys, they're kids, cut them some slack. It's the agents who are charging.
I was
going to
say,
anyway.
I'm pretty sure it's the management that's kind of controlling how much they're going to charge.
I opted not to get the IT kids autographs for two reasons. One, the line was literally out the room into the, like, connecting hallway into the next room. And also because, like, they're only 15, I feel like it's kind of weird for someone 10 years older than get an autograph. So I'm like, I'll wait till you're 18. You know, I'll hold off on that. So that was my experience there.
What would you say has been the best experience you've had meeting, like, a celebrity or at one of these events, you know? Like,
I'm trying to think. Honestly, the best I would say the best experience, oddly enough, was from the one we just talked about, despite what a shit show it was. When I met all the Jasons, sans Ari at the time, including Ted White, bless that man, 94 and still kicking, in costume. I'm like, this is it. This is worth the $600 I paid for this photo.
Yeah. Like, you're talking about total.
It was the whole group that was there from Friday the 13th.
$600?
It was $600.
Yeah, and I remember.
It was insane. It was insane.
And I remember when I was getting my autograph from CJ Grant from Part 6, he's like, hey, what's this? He saw the ticket sticking out of my wall, and he's all like, you paid $600 just to see us? I'm like, yeah, man, you know, like, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime
thing. It's a rare thing. However, I think it was a little overpriced.
That's the pogo guy I met last
year.
My first podcast.
It keeps coming full circle.
Love you too, pogo, you sick fuck. So, anyway, what was I saying? So
what happened when he saw how much did he...
He said, this selfie and autograph is on me.
Wow,
dude. And he gave me a free selfie and autograph because he saw how much I turned out just to come out and see all them. That was without a doubt the most pleasant experience I had at a convention, despite the chaos that was around it.
So when your friends ask you about this event, like, I know we already took a picture of you chilling here with us so that you'd have some photographic evidence that you were on a podcast.
Yeah.
What are you going to tell people about what you saw? Like, when they ask you how it was, what they call an elevator pitch? You got 30 seconds before you got to jump onto a bus or a taxi.
Oh, okay.
And they want to know what New Jersey Horror Con was like.
NJ Horror Con, honestly, it's just really choice. It's nice and organized. It's laid out in such a way where, like, you can just go around and just see everything. The autographs from the people, it varied, but all around I'd say they were very fair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, New York Comic Con's fun and all, but it's outrageously overpriced.
Oh, yeah.
This one's a lot more convenient to buy tickets for and to shop around in. And also just the merch here, too. There's just such a variety of merch. You have all these, like, you know, used videos, movies, all these discontinued action figures. I just bought myself a Billy figure from Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Nice.
So all around, just, you know, there's great people to meet, great stuff to buy, and all around, it's just a pleasant experience. That's what I would say. Great stuff to buy, great people to meet, just a great place to go. That's my pitch.
Awesome. I think that is the best soundbite ever to wrap it up on. Thank you for stopping by, man.
Absolutely, man.
This has been a blast, and I'm sure we'll see you at the next one.
Yeah, hopefully.
And, you know, whenever you see the Hollow Nine table, man, just come over and hang out. We'll follow up, dude. It'll be next year when we run into Phil again. We'll be like, yo, all right, this is Phil Part 2 now. We'll be your third podcast.
I will fill you in since we last met.
There you go. You'll probably wind up on a few more shows between then and now, though, I get the feeling. You're very comfortable on the mic. You got good conversation.
This is my first time on a mic. I hope I did a decent job.
Well, this is why we brought them. We've been hearing a lot of people. A lot of people said that. They're like, dude, usually I'm just talking into somebody's phone. I'm like, yeah, well.
It's basically the same thing.
A little bit different.
Listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow 9.